And this week we've been extending our community. Laura Erickson is reporting for KUMD in the Gulf of Mexico. She's been at Grand Isle, Louisiana for the past number of days. She joins us on the phone this morning. Laura, howdy there.
Good morning.
Nice to have you on the line. Now, you did have, we talked to you the last time we talked with you. You had gone out on the boat trip, and we had a report from you on the boat trip. You went out for about 4 hours in the area of the Gulf where you are. Did you have the flyover the next day that you were hoping to do?
Yes, I did. The flyover, when we went over Raccoon Island, which is an island, it's the first, one of the barrier islands. And the Cornell Lab of Ornithology had sent a team of videographers and photographers there that were there before the oil hit the island, and they documented, it was such an amazing breeding colony there of all kinds of colonial birds, a large pelican colony, roseate spoonbills, sandwich terns. It was just amazing. And then the oil hit, and they documented how many birds were badly, gruesomely oiled and dying or already dead. And it, from the flyover, it does not look like anybody has been there yet. The boom is still washed up on the very oiled island. It was really disturbing because the oil washed up here following Hurricane Alex, which was on July 3rd or 2nd, and the oil came up around the 4th. There's been a man here since early May, Drew Whelan, who is this young guy. He's been sleeping in his truck most nights to keep the expenses down because he's here for the American Birding Association, and they have a limited budget, a very limited budget. And Drew does not want to use up the budget on things like staying in and, you know, even a cheap air-conditioned motel when he can sleep in his car when it's, you know, 90 degrees at sunset and there's bugs all over. So he's been sleeping in his truck, but getting to know everybody, he's the nicest, most polite guy, and he has been meeting people and following this from the beginning. And everybody goes to Drew to find out where to go and things because he's been here since May. The people in the town of Grand Isle know him. We went to a restaurant yesterday, and the people at the register and the waitresses all knew him. And he doesn't go to restaurants very much because he's on this budget. He's just doing it on the cheap, but he's the one who knows. When the American Bird Conservancy went there, they went to see Drew. And the American Birding Association is supposed to be a fun, you know, bird watching club for people who want to compete in their lists, but they have really been the organization on the ground in Grand Isle, Louisiana, since the oil spill. Anyway, Drew has been following Raccoon Island. He hasn't had an opportunity to get out there yet, and it's been very frustrating because people are actively being kept from going on the island. We were doing a flyover in an airplane, but you could pick out one of our guys from Massachusetts Audubon, Sean Carey, has this amazing camera, and he was the one who had set it all up. So he was the one sitting in the front where he could actually open his window, and you can see dying pelicans from his when you blow up his pictures. It is really depressing because they've known about this since early July when the Cornell Lab of Ornithology issued a press release about the oil having reached the island. Now, when I've been looking at it, including after my flyover, I was thinking that the problem really is resolving itself pretty rapidly. The oil on the surface is evaporating. But yesterday, I went out to, it's called Grand Isle State Park, and they have one beach along it that has always, that's usually closed to the public because it's the only remaining natural beach in the park. And there's a big, long beach that belongs to everybody that people get to go out swimming, except now. And we're kept behind the dunes. The fence that keeps us off is behind the dunes. So we can see the workers cleaning the public beach, but we can't see close up what that sand is like. What that sand is like is really bad. The oil washed up there back in early July, and it is really awful. The naturalist who took us back there reached her hand down past her elbows, and all of it was oiled. And it comes in layers because as the oil washes onto the sand, it just kind of gets incorporated into the sand. The sand takes it up, and you end up with this awful slurry. And then a new tide cycle brings more sand to cover it up, but more oil was washing on, being taken up, and the oil is incredibly deep. And she said that it's like this the whole beach because the whole beach has been oiled. But what you're seeing in the cleanup operation, you have teams of five. One person is driving a front-end loader, and you have two pairs of people with plastic bags and a shovel. And one of them shovels, and everything we saw, they're only shoveling at the very surface. And they take two shovelfuls, and that's heavy enough, and that goes into this enormous plastic bag. And then the other person's holding the bag for the shoveler to shovel the two shovelfuls of fouled sand, and then they just toss the bag into the front end loader. And there's this huge beach, and there are two teams out at any given time. So I don't know how they can possibly be saying that Grand Isle is not showing any more oiling, because they're never going to clean that beach. We were watching oily stuff washing up on shore from a boardwalk where we could be out on the boardwalk, and it's yucky. We saw one lightly oiled egret yesterday, but what was more disturbing, there were willets along the sand, and the oil has like killed all their food, or the cleanup has. And so this willet is like desperately looking for food and not finding anything. And meanwhile, a dying fish had washed up on shore that a Franklin's gull was ripping open, and willets aren't supposed to eat that fish. But this willet just kept skirting in, like hoping it could get some food. Maybe some magical insects would appear for it to eat or something. It was so sad because a lot of the effect on birds is going to be very long-term insidious because they're losing their food base.
Laura, I saw in the national news the other night a story about volunteers that were collecting at a very specific time in the cycle and extremely carefully sea turtle eggs and packing the eggs very, very carefully in sand, clean sand from the beach, and then transporting these eggs very gingerly into a truck, and they were taking them to Florida. And the idea was that the natural sand from the beach of wherever they were along the Gulf would help them return there eventually. Are there any kinds of other wildlife cleanup efforts, anything like that going on where you are?
Well, the woman who brought us out to the oiled beach is this young, amazing woman who's got a a really good background in biology, and she's done some rehab. And so she badly wanted to volunteer for something. And BP was at first insisting, and this is what she told us, BP was originally insisting that anybody who went out on the beaches for any purpose had to have their 40-hour hazmat training, which is extremely expensive. And so young people with low-paid jobs or college kids there for the summer desperately wanting to help right at the time when college kids are home for the summer, nobody could afford that kind of thing. It was prohibitive. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service finally said, wait, they don't need that much hazmat training. The Fish and Wildlife Service had developed their own training that only takes 4 hours, and they told BP that that's what they should start offering. Well, BP is the one who gets to offer these things. It wasn't like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has enough people to offer the training themselves. That was BP's job, except BP is not yet started doing that. Meanwhile, this woman desperately wanted to be doing something to be helping all these oiled animals. They wouldn't let her touch sea turtles. They wouldn't let her touch birds. They wouldn't let her touch dolphins. So, but she was seeing on her beach all these little hermit crabs that were walking in the oil, disoriented. Some were glommed up because of all the layers of oil within the sand. And she finally talked them into letting her rescue these little hermit crabs. She has to do this on her own time. This isn't her job. And everything is at her own personal expense, and she's not allowed to accept money contributions. And she has managed to talk them into letting her have a band of volunteers who have to be wearing rubber boots and rubber gloves to get out there and everything. But that's all these people who are cleaning up the oil are wearing, too, is just rubber boots and rubber gloves. We were watching. Nobody has respirators. I was out there for maybe at the very most a half an hour, and I was feeling really woozy at the end. And, like, I almost felt like I was going to faint at one point and had to kind of hunker down. So this stuff is not, this is a real health risk. But anyway, she's been bringing people out. They pick up usually an average of 500 hermit crabs a day. They can only get out there at low tide. And they get these hermit crabs, bring them back, and they've made this little hermit crab rescue center. They painstakingly clean them. I forget what the name of the detergent she uses. It's not Dawn dishwashing detergent because that was too harsh for these little guys. So she has some special soap. And then so they get washed in this, and then they have to use a Q-tip to get into the little shells to clean them out. Then they put the hermit crabs on the special absorbent paper that soaks up more oil. Then overnight, they have to separate them by size and put them into tanks so they're with other hermit crabs of the same size, because they can be very aggressive, and if they come out of their shells, there's a certain amount of shell swapping, and they have to be go to shells that are the right size for them. And then in the morning, the ones that are still living, they take to a clean beach 20 miles away. Well, I'm saying a clean beach, and she's hoping against hope that these big, there's apparently a lot of oil still under the surface because they use this dispersant. And so it'll just suddenly pop up. And there was still oil in the water. I mean, you're just watching it, and this is many miles from where the thing blew. So you don't know how much oil is under there, when it's going to hit surface next, and what beach will be hit next. So people are just hoping that this beach 20 miles away is a good place to be bringing these little hermit crabs. It was heartbreaking to me seeing the work this woman was doing just because she's a nice person who wanted to do something. She has all these young people helping her. Nobody can get paid. And the only thing she's been able to ask people to do is to give her things like tanks and filters and those things that gush water through, air through, aerators. And
it seems a little strange, Laura, that there is a disaster of this magnitude and so many people who want to help, and yet it seems as though almost no one's being allowed to.
It does. And I have to say, the public is not, we're only seeing at a great distance what the beaches look like, because it's important that the beaches be closed off, because, like I said, I was feeling sick after just being out for a short time. But nobody is getting in. People are prohibited from getting in, and so it's only exceptional situations where you can actually get to the sand to see how horrible it is. And I did take some videos, which I'm going to try to get up this morning before I move on, at least so people can see how awful that oil is.
Well, Laura, we're out of time this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And folks can read Laura's commentary, take a look at her photos, and the videos will be up as soon as she's able to get them posted. That is at lauraerickson.blogspot.com. Laura, thank you again, and we'll be talking with you on Monday.
Okay, bye-bye.
Laura Erickson this morning in Grand Isle, Louisiana, reporting for KUMD on the Gulf oil spill.